We're talking motoring now, and 702 Motoring is brought to you by Audi Freeway Plan Extension. So do call us on 011-883-0702, 31702 as well. If you have a technical question, Nicole Lowe is our guest, and he's the technical editor for Car Magazine. Good afternoon, Nicole.
Hi, Zanya. Hi, listeners.
Thank you for joining us. Now, let's start by looking at the importance of a water pump, and also how does it work?
Yes, Zanya. If we think about the energy that's in the fuel that we put in our car, a third of that energy actually gets converted into heat. Only a third actually gets to the wheels. And that heat needs to be expelled to atmosphere to protect the engine. And to do that, you have a cooling circuit. All modern engines now these days are water-cooled. So you've got a cooling circuit with a radiator, and then you need a unit, which is then the water pump, to actually circulate the water through the engine and then through the radiator to allow it to be expelled to atmosphere. Now, with your older or more basic engines, you get a mechanical water pump that gets driven by the cam belt. And that's normally when your car goes in for a cam belt change, they will say, okay, we also need to change the water pump, which is quite correct because it's such a critical component in the car. And when you change your cam belt, you might as well just change this as well. And it's normally about 100,000 kilometer service interval. The water pump itself, it's a mechanical device, as I mentioned, and it's got an impeller that actually just pumps the water through the circuit. It's also got a seals inside, and it's got a little weeple. So if you see like drops of water falling underneath your car, and you see that from the water pump it's dripping out, it's actually got a little hole there to tell you when the seals are gone. So that's a telltale sign that the water pumps need replacement.
Great.
With more modern engines or higher end vehicles these days, you get electrically driven water pumps. It's not with the cam belt or via the engine, which is then controlled by the ECU, and it can control how much flow actually goes through the engine. And other advantages, when your car stops, the engine stops with this new stop-start technology, when it switches off the engine at the red traffic light, for instance, the water can continue to circulate and also cool the engine block, and also the new, the modern turbochargers also water-cooled. So then the cooling still continues even though your engine is stopped, which obviously isn't the case with a mechanical water pump.
Right. Okay. So there, I'm glad that you told us about that little droplet. That's a great hint that we need to then sort out our water pump and get it looked at. Let's go to the lines now. We start with you, Mtetelele. You're out in Foslo. Your question for Nicole?
Hi, Nicole. How are you?
Good yourself. What's the question?
Yes. I'm driving a 320i BMW in 91st lift. It's a 2011 model.
Mm-hmm.
What it does is, it's actually, sometimes it loses power, but not all the time. For example, if maybe I'm driving slow, like I'm jumping a hump, I'll change down to 2, and then when I drive, it will be like something that is holding it back.
Yes.
It doesn't want to move. And then even if I press the accelerator, it doesn't move. If I keep on pressing, then it will jump, and then goes.
Yes.
Or maybe sometimes if I change the gear to 1, then it will move. I took it to some guy, they put it on the computer, they didn't find anything wrong. But he just told me that I'll need to do a top. So I just want to check if that's the case. It does have a little smoke when I rev it, but when it drives, there's no smoke, only when I rev the car.
Yes, no, I know what you're talking about, Ntetelele. It's almost as if it just loses power, and then you stay on that accelerator, and then it builds up slowly, and then the power kicks in after some time. Nicole, what could be the problem? Is there a turbo issue here?
Just one question. I just want to find out. I think it's a pre-turbo car. Is it a naturally aspirated 2-liter engine?
Yeah, it's a 2-liter engine. I don't think it does have a turbo.
Naturally aspirated. I think 2011 is just before the new one with the turbo engine.
Right.
Yeah, it's difficult. You did the right thing to take it for a diagnostic check, because I just want to ask you if there's any lights on the instrument cluster when that lack of power happens. If there's a light on the instrument cluster, it's definitely linked to some electric fault. And we talked about the limp home function or reduced power function, which is a protection function that will come in to protect the engine. But it doesn't sound like this in this case.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very difficult for me to analyze it from here. But I would guess it's something electrical. There's some sensor that's playing up, maybe your mass airflow sensor, because all these sensors need to work in unison to supply, first of all, we need to measure the amount of air that is in the inlet that's sucked in, and then compute how much fuel it needs to inject, and obviously your timing needs to be correct to give you the power that you need at the throttle opening. So it sounds like one of those aren't playing along, and it's difficult from here to see which one. So obviously I hope the engine is serviced, that the service is up to date, and your spark timing is checked, that that's all fine. But I've got a feeling it's something to do with one of the sensors, and I would put money on the table for your mass airflow sensor. Maybe if you can even replace that with another one and just check if it's any better. Or sometimes what I also advise is you can unplug some of these sensors, and it will light up a little fault on the instrument cluster, but it will revert to another map that doesn't measure using the sensor, but it's a map that's stored in the ECU.
Oh.
And if it's better that way, you know that sensor is the culprit.
Oh, I see. Okay. He's gone, but I hope Mtetelele was listening to your response there. So how much are you willing to put down, Nicole?
No, not a lot.
We've got Benny next in Krugersdorp. Hi, Benny.
Hi, Lavinia. How are you?
Good, and you?
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to find out from Nicole. Hi, Nicole.
Hi.
Yes, Nicole, I'm driving a 1987 Toyota Corolla 1.6 GL automatic, thanks to Mari Bota in Krugersdorp. The car has only traveled 147,000 legitimate kilometers. So, it doesn't give me any problems until recently. When I got it, I think 3 years ago, it stood at 93,000 kilometers.
Mm-hmm.
So now, every time when it's becoming slow when I have to change, gears and stuff. Like it's something it's holding it up. And after some time, then that's when it kicks.
So it's a problem that is also low on power, like the previous caller.
Yeah.
Is that the problem?
Yeah.
All right. In 1987, with those kind of miles, it's a very low mileage vehicle. So, I mean, the Corollas go to 300,000 kilometers easily. So I don't expect that mechanically there should be anything wrong with the engine. Just check that it's fully serviced. So, for instance, your fuel filter, make sure that it gets enough fuel. Your air filter is changed so it gets enough air. Check the spark timing that it's correct. That's all you need for proper power. So, has it been serviced recently?
Yes, from time to time, after each and every 6 months, I change the oil, I change like your minor service after each and every 6 months. And even people are saying I'm wasting money. But because, the car is so beautiful, you won't even believe that it's 1987. Wherever I go, it makes a stand. It's still original. Everything is inside. It's still 1987. The Max from Toyota, it's a gem, Everywhere I go to, people want to sell, they want me to sell them the car. And you know what I see? I don't even sell it for anything.
Yeah, you're going to hold on to it. I can hear your pride, Benny. So will you look at all of these things? Will you look at the spark timing? Will you look at how much air is going in?
Sometimes even just check your intake system. There is no leaks on the intake system.
Okay.
But obviously for the engine to make the correct power, it needs enough air, it needs enough fuel, it needs the correct spark timing. So one of those are not there. So you have to check which one it is.
Okay. Benny, good luck with that and keep loving your car. Jane out in Conhill, good afternoon.
Hi. I spoke before about a problem I've had with my Nissan Qashqai, which we tried to sort out. I've been trying for 3 years to sort out the lack of functionality on my stop-start function that the car was sold to me with, that it would stop, I heard you mentioning earlier, at a traffic light and then start again.
Right.
And I've eventually been told after 3 years of the car being in and out, probably 15 times for this to be fixed, that the stop-start functionality doesn't work at 1,500 meters above sea level.
Yeah.
If I'd read my owner's manual before I'd bought the car, I would have known this.
Right. So your question for Nicole, is that true?
Well, is it right that a car gets sold to you with a stop-start functionality And then you get told 3 years later that you should have known it wouldn't work above 1,500 meters. Mm-hmm. And it does say that in the owner's manual. Should I bought it up with a dealer. The dealer said he didn't know that. I mean, why would it not work at a certain height? And since Johannesburg is above 1,500 meters above sea level, it doesn't work.
Mm. Nicole, your thoughts on this?
Yeah, just in general, stop-start systems. Johannesburg is 1,700 meters above sea level. Stop-start systems has got a lot of entry conditions that need to be met, and it differs from manufacturer to manufacturer. So obviously, one would be your aircon system, your climate control. What does it say to the temperature that needs to keep inside the cabin? So if it's very hot outside ambient temperatures and you ask for a cool temperature inside, the engine would not switch off because it needs to power the aircon that actually feeds the cabin. That's one entry condition that needs to be met.
Mm-hmm.
There are other entry conditions as well, like engine temperature needs to be up to temperature. It needs to warm up the engine first. So when you just start it, you need to stop immediately at the stop switch. It probably wouldn't switch off because it's still warming up the engine. So I personally haven't heard about this entry condition of altitude, but it's not impossible that it may be there. There might be a reason for it, which I can't actually think of now. Why would you not allow it to stop at altitude?
Right.
But there must be a reasoning behind it. I mean, the fact that it's in the owner's manual, I mean, the dealership didn't know about it. If they knew about it, the caller wouldn't have got to take a vehicle back for 15 times, which is unfortunate. But in general, also what I found with stop-start systems, it doesn't save, if you don't stop for really lengthy times, it doesn't really save a lot of fuel. So in that sense, if you bought a car with stop-start and you're thinking that you're going to save half your fuel bill, that is definitely not the case. You have to stop for really long lengths of time before it will actually make a difference to your fuel bill. So it's unfortunate that this entry condition is there, and they should have probably known about it a lot earlier than they did.
Yes.
But I don't think there's any recourse, unfortunately, in that situation. Maybe move to Cape Town and it will work again.
Oh, gosh. Those preconditions. All right, Nicole, let's take a break. Back with more of your calls after this. Fee, we're taking your calls now with Nicole Lowe, the technical editor at Car Magazine, in the remaining time. Peter, you say you have a power steering question?
Yeah, hi, how's it, guys?
Hi.
Please help me, man. My mom's car, new 1990 Corolla 1.6 automatic. It's got 57,000 Ks on the clock. It's brand spanking new still. Can we convert the manual into a power steering? Because she's getting a little bit on in life, and she's finding it a bit of a battle to turn.
To turn, yes. And I know the steering. My mom has the same car. The
when
steering.
She's going, it's fine. You know, it's when she's like in a parking. It's a bit of a problem. Is it possible, Nicole?
Yes, I know of some aftermarket places that can do a power steering system aftermarket. The problem is they are very expensive. We're talking about thousands of rands, unfortunately, to do the conversion. So I know it's a pain with the older, I know the Toyotas, even the Tazes and the City Golfs and so on. They haven't got power steering, so when you're standing still, it's almost impossible to turn. Mm. You almost need to start moving a bit before you can actually turn the steering wheel, which is a pain. But as I say, there is, if you go on Google and you search aftermarket power steering, there are guys that will do it, but unfortunately it costs a lot of money.
Oh, really? So you have to weigh whether it's worth it or not.
Yeah, exactly.
Right,
yes.
Peter, there's your answer. Roland, you're in Alberton. You have a suggestion about this loss of power.
Yes, as I had the same problem on my Mercedes. You go over a hump and the thing goes to sleep, and then all of a sudden it wakes up. We found out the problem was the throttle valve.
Which valve?
The throttle valve. The hoses to the throttle valve, if they are worn and they suck in too much air, you're going to have a problem.
Mm.
So get your hoses checked out and get the throttle valve checked out as well.
Okay. Nicole, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, obviously the intake throttle you mentioned about, and then the air fuel ratio in a petrol engine needs to be at 14.7:1. So either if you have in too much air or too much fuel, then the combustion process isn't what it should be.
Absolutely.
So it is possible, but unfortunately for a loss of power, there's many things that can lead to that. So that is one of them that you can definitely have a look at. But yeah, in the 1987 Toyota, I also think that must be a carburetor still. So one thing you can also maybe check is thinking about car, it is maybe cleaning the carburetor and see that all the jets are still clean and there isn't some debris that would prevent the flow of fuel. So there's something else to check, but there's quite a few things that can result in a loss of power.
Okay. Ian in Bryanston, hi.
Hello. Hi, good afternoon, Nico. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Go ahead.
Okay, cool. Thank you. Nico, I've got a Hyundai Tucson V6 petrol, 2007, 140,000 on the clock. It's regularly serviced by Hyundai, but all of a sudden it's been very, very hard to start, especially when it's hot.
Okay. Nicole?
So my question is, you know, in the morning, it starts almost first time like it normally does. But as the day goes longer and it gets hotter, if I jump in the car and I'm sitting in the sun for an hour or so, it non-stop for about 30 seconds to three quarters of a minute.
Sure.
Is there anything I should be looking at other than taking it back to and by?
All right.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. Temperature does affect electrical resistance, so that's one thing that can be different. Other thing is, maybe there's something to do with the fueling, but it's a tough one. If you want to just make sure for peace of mind that the compression is what it should be, you can do that on all the cylinders. But if it runs fine, I don't think that would be the issue.
Mm.
My first guess would be electrical. So when it's in that condition where it doesn't want to start, that's actually the best way to try and investigate. Is it getting fuel when it's the spinning cranking over? So if it's spun for a long time and you take out the spark plug, is it wet or not? If it's completely dry, then you know there's no fuel going in. And then also when it's in that condition, you can take out a spark plug and check, is it actually sparking? Is it getting sparked? Because if it's an electrical issue, that electrical resistance is up and sometimes it affects the spark timing, then that's the issue why it isn't starting. So in that condition is best, check for fuel and check for spark in that condition, a non-starting condition.
All right. As you said, it's the perfect time to take a look. So when next it happens, hopefully he's got some help at hand. Nicole, as always, thank you very much.
Thanks, Shazania.
Always so helpful. That's our Nicole Lowe, the technical editor for Car Magazine.